Reception being here years ago, and in the corner over there, cutting our cake in the corner where Becky's sitting over in the corner there. We still got the picture on our desk there. That picture lives on our desk. It's coming back down memory lane today. So the Lord is good. The Lord is good. But you know, it is Christmas, and you know, not that you have to follow sometimes the season, but you know, the Lord has put this on my heart, this word, and I shared a little bit of this with my family on Christmas Day. But sometimes you read a good word of God, and you can read it over and over and over again. But sometimes you read it, and God just speaks to you through that word. But I'm sharing from, if you can turn first to Isaiah 7, and then we'll be looking at Luke 1. We start Isaiah 7, and then to Luke 1. You know, there's many needs in the world today. There's many, many needs in the world today. When we look around the world, and we look from time has begun, there have been many needs in this world. Well, everyone has a need. Everyone in this building today will have a need and have a different need. We all got needs. But you know, as we think about the, you know, Christmas time, we celebrate, and the world celebrates and carries on, and no one cares about but that little baby in the manger anymore. You know, but you know, we do. You know, and I do. You know, and you know, this time of year is the best time to then remember the Lord, to remember what God has done for us. And like I said, there's many needs in the world. But you know, if our greatest need was for money, then God would have sent us a millionaire. If our greatest need was for education, then God would have sent us a lecturer. If our greatest need was for entertainment, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was salvation, so he sent us his son. That was our greatest need, so he sent us his son. God knows every man's need. See, we think we know what we want and what we need, but God knows our needs. He knows what we need. The Bible tells us he gives us what we need, not what we want. That's where we get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes we think God has failed us, but he never failed us. He just didn't give us what we want. But he gave us everything that we needed, and that was his son. He gave us everything. Now, we look at the book of Isaiah here. And Isaiah, you got to understand when this is written. You know how God works. God is so merciful towards man. He tells man things that will happen before they happen. That's the mercy of God. But God comes here in Isaiah now to this man called Azar. And if we start from verse 10 here. And it says, Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord thy God. Now, what a privilege God comes to a man and says to that man, ask of me a sign. I mean, that's amazing that God comes to a man and says, tell me what you want me to do. Ask of me a sign. And Ahaz, it says, either in the depths or in the heights above. Tell me where you want me to do it. Whether you want me to do it in the heights above or in the depths below. Ask me a sign, Ahaz. This is what God is asking this man. And listen what this man says. And Ahaz says, I will not ask thee, neither will I tempt the Lord. I said, when I read that, I said, wow. God is asking this man, tell me what you want me to do, and I will do it. What sign do you want? Now this man says, I will not ask you a sign. I don't need a sign. You know, when you look at me standing here today, I tell you, and I know many have testimonies, but I say it's the mercies of God that I'm standing here today. Some of you don't know where I come from. You don't know my background. Before I came to England, I remember standing on my roof at the age of 18 and saying to God, if you give me this and if you give me that, I will serve you. And let me tell you something. God gave me every single thing right down to the last nitty gritty. God came to me like he came to this man, Ahaz. But the difference with me and Ahaz was I asked for it. I said, I want this, I want that, I want that. And when I say I was specific, because to me, at that point, life meant nothing to me. At that stage in my life, when I was 18 years old, life meant nothing to me. And when God asked me that question, I say it was like speaking to God. I looked up at the stars. You can't see the stars like I could in the Bahamas. It was clear. It was like crystal clear. It was like watching television. You understand me? I used to look up at those moons as a young boy because of my life situation, how difficult life was. I used to look up at those skies and say, is there a God? But here is Ahaz. Now God comes to this man, Ahaz, and says, ask a sign of the Lord. Notice the difference he says. Thy God. Amen. Thy God. It's personal. God is very personal. I am your God. Ask me. But I asked for many things, and God gave me everything down to the last T. And you know, when I was in England, and when we lived where we lived, then when I didn't, I told God, I will serve him. But you know what? I didn't keep my part of the bargain. I took those things and I lived the life and I lived my dreams. But you know what? When everything was failed and everything, I was stripped back to nothing again. I came to a place just before we left London that God says, stand around. Look at your garden. Look at everything. And I looked and there it was, everything I asked for. And I had to almost weep and say, God, forgive me. I didn't keep my part of the bargain. You're going to see where I'm coming with this. Now God says, okay then, you don't want to ask a sign. And it says, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? Now this is Ahaz speaking to the people. He said, is it a small thing for you to weary men? You think of this time of year with children, when they want to get something. They weary you down. Please, mommy, please, daddy, please, mommy, please, daddy. Can't you do it? They weary you down until you actually get it. But listen what Ahaz said. He said, but should you weary my God also? You know, everyone out there in that world always saying, show us your God is real. What would he do for us? So they're asking me, why did he do this? Would he do that? Would he do that? They're always looking for God to do something so that they would believe in him. It's almost as if God always have to prove himself before man would believe in him. The earth, the heavens and the stars are not enough. No matter what God does for those people at Israel, it wasn't enough. Let them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, delivered them. It's never enough. No matter what God done, if you look through history in this Bible, God could have never satisfied those people no matter what he did. Because the problem is the people always wanted things. Always wanted something. And in this world, it's almost as if, you know what that word happiness means? Unless something's happening, you're not happy. It's always, there's something always got to be happening for you to be happy. That's why people always go to the clubs. Because they need to have something happening. They need to have something to motivate them. They need entertainment. Always need something. But this man needs nothing from God. In other words, what Ahaz was saying to God was, you are enough. I don't need a sign from you. I don't need a sign. I said, when I left London, I said to God, when I left that place, I said, when I left this place, I said, I don't need you to do nothing for me ever again in my life. If I die a poor man, the fact that you saved me is enough. Amen. I don't need nothing. Because that's the greatest need. And what they don't realize is, God gave them everything, they had him. You know, when that children of Israel out there in that wilderness, when they were moaning and complaining, you know what they didn't realize? The pillar of cloud was right there. Every night, God kept them warm. It says there was a pillar of fire by night, and there was a cloud by day. He shaded them from the sun, and he kept them warm from in the night. But that wasn't enough. They wanted more. It wasn't enough that all God wanted was them. Now, in a marriage, you don't want someone to love you just what you can give them. If natural people are like that, then why should we treat God any different? But it seems as if we always have to have God do something for us before we do anything for him. That's how the world is, you know. You do me a favor, I do you a favor. God don't need favors from men. Then he says here, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The Lord will give you a sign. This is roughly around about 700 years before when that angel came to Mary. So it's roughly about 700 years before that angel came to Mary. This is the sign. God says, the Lord will give you a sign. Here will be the sign. It says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel. God is with us. Is God enough or do we need more? Do we always need more before we actually do what we should be doing as Christians? Does God have to always do something for us before we live how we should live? Now, when we look at this, he says, Emmanuel, that would be the sign. Now we know that. Now we look at Luke. Now, for the sake of time, I won't go on too much and read the whole passage because you all know the story. You all know the story. See, when Paul came to those people in that early church, Paul came to the early church and he said to them, I won't come to you with excellent speeches. See, Paul said, because you guys know everything. They were philosophers. They were, you know, he was talking to some philosophers, some people. You see, I won't come to you with words of excellent speeches. I've just come to you as a simple man this morning. Simple. Why? Because the word of God is simple. When God spoke on those mountains, little children could have understood. Didn't need no one to translate, didn't need no commentaries. There was no commentaries in those days. All you had was the word of God, and that was it. You couldn't go and grab Matthew Henry. You couldn't go and grab Scott or anyone. No, you had to just take the word that God came to you, and you either believed it or you didn't. It was as simple as that. But we would get so sophisticated. You know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. But you see, we get this. I won't even try that again. But it's that. We need so much these days. You know, simple. You know, Pete says, you know, it's nice coming back to the dog, kennel, back to the basics, getting the chairs. Simple. Simple. You know, when God came down, we look at the virgin birth, when that angel came. Like I say, you all know the story, so I'll just tell you. Because it's in, see, the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. When Paul Lemon was in prison and Silas in prison, they didn't have no Bibles. They had to, with the word they heard, they had to have that. You understand? When the people came to the temple in those days, when that word was read, they couldn't go home and flip the scriptures and look back at it. No, they had to listen to that word and take it and go home and meditate on it. That's what they had to do. They only had the word and nothing else. And we only need the word of God. We don't need nothing else. We don't need nothing else. We make it too complicated sometimes. We make church too complicated sometimes. We make God too complicated sometimes. That's why the world out there sometimes look and go, I don't know. Because we think that we got to try somehow to convince them. We don't need to convince them. You just need to be what you should be. See, because what the world is tired of is hypocrites. When I was a kid, I was tired of hypocrites. Understand me? I had no time for games. I had no time. Because why? Because my family, everyone who grew up, they lied to me all my life. So when I became a man, I had no time for games. I had no time for hypocrites. I just wanted to know the truth, and even if it hurts. The problem is everyone just wants something to hear that like tickle their ears. Everyone, you know, that's what the Bible said. They like people like things that tickle their ears. Tell me something new. When Jesus was here, he did the same. They said the same thing. Tell us something new. They wanted to hear something. No, he didn't tell them nothing. This is the way, ye walk ye in it. Jesus said there's two ways. One road that leads to destruction, and then there's a narrow way. You choose. See, it's a choice that you have to make. God ain't going to make you do it. He ain't going to force you to do it. Now, we know the story of Mary. When that angel came to Mary, told Mary that was going to happen. That what was prophesied years ago. Now, the angel came to Mary and told Mary that you will conceive a son and you should call his name Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it? I can go out there right now on that street corner. I can say Muhammad. I can say Buddha. I can say anything. I can anything. But if I just, as soon as I say Jesus, whoa. Just say that name and everyone's affected. Whoa. But if I say, oh, Muhammad, then nobody. Down where we live now, the teachers have to wash their hands before they read the Quran to the student, to the children. They have to wash their hands. You see, they put that, they tell you now the Bible is banned from the schools now, but the Quran is taken in. Now, why they've been, look at our world today. I say all the English women and English people are being converted to Islam. You know why a lot of them are doing it? Because those who call themselves Christians, they can't see nothing. But these people are living what they believe. That's the difference. They're not just speaking it, they're living it. You understand? I don't agree with it. What I'm saying is, but they're living it. And the world out there and the kids today are looking for something to believe in. They're looking for something to believe in because there is nothing out there to believe in. That world only would pick you up. You know that Good Samaritan, the story of Good Samaritan? That's what the world does to you. It leaves you there on the side of the road wounded and everyone walks by. And that man who stopped that Good Samaritan, that's Christ, picked him up. Even though wounded by that world, put him on his own donkey. Story of this prodigal son who went away. But then when he came back, the father was there with welcoming him to welcome him. See, God never leaves us. We leave God. And we always think that God has failed us. No, we failed God because God gave us everything we need. Here is now that message came to Mary. That angel said to her, don't you be afraid, Mary. This thing that is happening to you, I tell you, this is of God. But you know what, Mary? You know, before Mary can even conceive that child, you know something? Mary had to give consent. When you read that story, Mary had to say, here is the handmaiden of the Lord. Be unto me as you have said. See, the angel said, Mary, almost as if the angel waited for that response. God didn't just put that baby, God didn't just come inside Mary and just do that miracle. No, she had to give consent to that. She had to give consent. See, God ain't going to make us do nothing without our... We have to be willing to do it. And, you know, the story tells us that Mary there, as she comes... And we got to remember this as well. When that decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, man, we got to understand what was happening then. God stopped everything. You understand me? Everything was stopped. I mean, everything stopped. Caesar Augustus sent that decree out. And at that time, Caesar Augustus was like God on the earth. He was like Lord of the earth at that time. What he said goes. So God made that man to change everything and say, send them back to the people. Why? So that this would be fulfilled what God has said would happen. That child will be born in Bethlehem. That child will be born in Bethlehem. You understand me? Now, like I say, I'm not trying to go through the whole story because you know it. And it'll take too long to read it. I just want to tell you what God has put on my heart to share with you this morning. And this is what I have been learning. You see, our life is a learning curve. Life is a journey. But it's up to you what journey you decide to take. You see? Now, when that angel came to Mary and told Mary about what was going to happen, Mary gave consent to that. And it says Mary, and the Bible goes on to say, Mary was great with child. Because the thing that was in it, because great, he was the greatest. She was great with child because she had the greatest gift in her ever. That was the greatest gift ever given to man. God gave man the greatest gift that he can ever give. He gave himself. He came down to this earth for man. To show man, demonstrate to man one more time. This is the last time that he was going to demonstrate to man how much he loved man. See, even Jesus said, whosoever believe now in him shall not perish. God couldn't do no more. God said, this is it now. I can't do no more. I give myself. Selfless. But notice when that decree was sent out and everyone was there, again, you know the story. When they went around, Mary heavily pregnant, great with child, knocking on those doors, and everyone says, too busy. There's no room. You know the story, knocked on the next door, there is no room. Here they are all celebrating and all having a good time that time of year, but no one had no time for Mary and that baby. But you know what? They didn't even know who it was they were turning away. They didn't realize who it was they were turning away. You know, history tells us that Queen Victoria used to go around dressed like a peasant and go and knock on peasants' doors around this time of year. And she used to go into people, and whoever opened the door for her, she came in with them, sat at their table and had a cup of tea. And she was dressed as a peasant. Many turned her away, but those who didn't turn her away got to sit with the queen, got an audience with the queen. Didn't know she was the queen, just welcomed her in. See, but though that night, as Mary and Joseph are there walking around now with the greatest gift ever given to man, everyone says, I'm too busy, we're full. No, too busy. This is the thing that they were supposed to be waiting for, the Messiah. This is who they're supposed to be waiting for. But everyone's having such a good time that no one even has time for Mary and Joseph. No one has time for him. No one has time for the babe that's about to be born. No one has the time anymore. Look at our lives today. We get so busy, we don't have time. The world makes us so busy to suggest to exist, we don't have time for God no more. We're too busy. See, God's still knocking on the hearts of men, but everyone's saying, I'm too busy. Not today, maybe tomorrow. I ain't got time right now. Nothing's changed. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I say to my daughters that about fashion. When they wear their Converse, I say, you know, I was wearing those as a kid. I said, we got a certain age. When I was a kid, we used to laugh at people wearing those. And now it's the greatest, you know, fashion. Nothing changes. It comes right back around again. Nothing changes. Fashion comes back. Same thing with life. Nothing changes. Just as everyone was too busy on that day when Mary and Joseph were looking for somewhere for that babe to be born, it's the same thing today. This time of year, when everyone's supposed to be celebrating that babe and that manger, how many people and how many families took the time on Christmas Day to even look and think about that babe? Very few. Why? Because everyone's too busy. They take the thing that God gave, because it's supposed to be here because of him. This whole Christmas time is supposed to be about Jesus. But yet everyone's too busy. Because they're busy having fun, just as it was that night in Bethlehem. There is no room. But notice this, those who had time got to see that great sight. Not only this, there was a star in the sky. No one was following the star. Only the wise men followed that star. Right to the place where he laid. Then those shepherds out in that field. After that angel told them what happened, they said one to another, let's go and see this great sight. Let's go and see. They had time. And the ones who had time, then got to see the greatest thing ever. Got to watch, see that babe in that manger, right there lying there. Wow, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right there. Only a few got to see that great sight that night. Only a few got to see that great sight. Why? Because everybody else was too busy. Everyone's too busy. That's what life is sometimes. Too busy, too busy, too busy. See, life, that's what God has spoken to me in this year. I was so busy doing my own thing, living for myself, trying to get a name for Shelton, trying to do Shelton, Shelton. Selfish. And all the time, God, I thought you were supposed to be mine. You know, the Bible says we're bought with a price. Your life is not your own. So if you've been bought with a price, you know, you think you're losing something. I didn't have a life before God came. I didn't have a life. So when he gave me a new life, can I not then give him everything? Because I had nothing anyway. But we can get so busy sometimes that we can forget all about Jesus. We just live our lives, go to work, come home, eat, sleep, and we become just like the world. The Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. But we become just like the world, even at this time of year. Why? Because we get so busy and all we're doing is, all that busyness is just to exist. And really, you're still not happy anyway. Because truly, only God can give peace. See? When that proclaimed what he should be called, the Prince of Peace. It says he will be the Prince of Peace. There is no peace outside of Christ. No. There is no peace outside of God. I've lived the life. I've had it all. I've done the parties. I've done the money and all that. There is nothing. At the end of it, I still end up miserable, still ended up with nothing. It's not joy in that. There is no joy. There's no peace in that. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're not living the Christian life as you're supposed to be living that Christian life, there is no joy. There is no peace. It's just temporal. See, in the marriage, Joel just got married. See, in a marriage, why there's so much broken homes and broken marriages? I come from a broken home. Why is it so? See, because you see, the Bible says a three-folded cord cannot easily be broken. Husband, wife, but Christ as the head. Nothing can break that. See, when that angel said to Mary, listen, Mary, nothing shall be impossible with God. Because Mary was wondering, how can this be, seeing I not know a man? How can this be? When that angel told her she's going to be proud, how can this be? I didn't know a man. But God says, that angel said to Mary, he said, listen, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. If God can open the barren womb, see, and we what you have realized was that womb was barren for a reason. It wasn't time yet. For everything, there is a season. It wasn't time for that babe to be born yet. Because John the Baptist had to come at the right time. God's never late. God's always on time. The Bible says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't come 1 minute late. He came right on time, right when he's supposed to, just like it was prophesied. But man, like always, are too busy. We're so busy with life. So busy doing our own thing. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruits of your labor. The Bible tells us we ought to enjoy the fruits of our labor. But you see, when all you do is enjoy the fruits of your labor, but never actually give nothing back to God, then really, all you're living for is yourself. And to be quite honest, we live in a selfish world. Everyone's selfish. Everyone just thinks of themselves. Poor me, woe is me. That's all everyone is. Woe is me. See, I was like that as a kid. Oh, poor me. I had no mama. I had no dad. So poor me. Everyone should give me things. Why no one look at? No. All the time, God was right there all the time saying, but I'm here. I can help you. But no. Feel sorry for myself. Self-pity will kill a lot of people. It's not about you. God gave us the greatest gift that he can ever give. He gave us the greatest gift. Everything that we needed. What was this? Salvation. Salvation. He came, he died on that cross for our sins. He could do no more for us. You've got it, he gave you all. And what did he say? One requirement, whosoever believe. Simple, isn't it? Just believe. Just believe in what I've done for you. Just believe that what I've done for you. I've given you everything I can give. See, but we have to not be like that. We have to realize we're on this earth for one purpose, and that's to bring glory to God. Amen. We're not here to live for ourselves. Jesus told you that, you know, okay, you don't have a mansion. He said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. He said, if it was not so, I would have told you. See, we live for mansions here on this earth. These things will fade away, because let me tell you something, when the time comes, you know, the bank will just say, it's mine anyway. You miss your payment, it's gone. When I had my operation, let me tell you something. If I tell you, I can be all day telling you the things God done for me. When we had I had an operation 4 years. It was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I had an operation. Let me tell you something. I couldn't work for almost 2 years. No one knew our need. No one knew what we needed. No one knew we had no money. No one knew nothing. But let me tell you something. God did not let me down. And one day I sat on my sofa, my leg up and it's all busted up. And I said to God, why would you do this to me? And I just flipped my Bible open. And I don't believe God always does this. You understand me? I'm not saying God just, you will flip it open. God, you know, I don't believe in tricks and games. You understand? But I opened my Bible. And you know the scripture I read straight away? Because I was feeling sorry for myself. I was feeling like, why would you do this to me? I've been faithful to you. I've always served you. Why would you take everything from me? I can't even provide for my family. Everything's gone. No money, no nothing. Nothing. Couldn't pay the bills. You understand me? Nothing. Nothing in the bank account. Nothing. But the mortgage is due. And we let nobody know. No one knew. And I read that scripture one morning as I sat on the sofa feeling sorry for myself. You know what it says? I do not trust in the feet of men. That's the scripture I read that morning when I felt like that. I opened it up and it says, I do not trust in the feet of men nor in their chariots. Mm. And let me tell you something. For 2 years, without anyone knowing, every time people knocked. You ever heard of George Miller? People knocked on my door, brought grocery to me. People didn't even know me. Not in the church. People not even from the church, from the world. From the world. Just came, knocked on our door, bought food, bank account. Looked at one day, money there. How did that get paid? Don't know. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. My trust is not inside what the world can give me. My trust is in Christ. When you put your trust in the world will leave you abandoned, just like that man, the Good Samaritan on the side of that road. That's how it will leave you. Wounded, hurt, forgotten. But God gave us the greatest gift of all. There is nothing greater. He gave us his son. And at this time of year, of any time, if you never have any other time, this is the time of year of any other time, we should remember the Lord's birth. We should remember that babe who came. Because the story didn't end. That babe grew up to be a man and died on the cross for your sin and my sin. That's what God has done for us. He gave us everything that we needed. See, but the problem is man will not trust him. It's all about trust. See, God said all God wants is man just to trust him. Trust and obey. See those old songs? For there's no other way. There is no other way. See, what God says is, you know, when you're ready, you come back. You come back. You go and live your life if you want to. You go and be happy. But when you're ready, you come back to me and then we can talk. We can talk. Let me tell you, God is more merciful than the world. Because even when you make mistakes and even when you fail, the good thing is you can always come back. Even when you go away from God, you can always come back. That's the mercy of God. That's the God we serve. A merciful God. A merciful Savior. One who came down and died for us on that cross. But it's up to us. We can either be too busy for him or we can live for him. But the choice is ours. But I'll tell you that one thing. I've never had more joy in my life, more peace than when I do what God wants me to do. I'm the happiest man in the world. One man came to my house one time down the countryside and sat on my sofa with me. He said to me, what do you do, Sheldon? I said, nothing. Just sit here, read the word, go. He said, man. And he looked at me and said, man, that's a dull life, man. I said, but I'm happy. But I'm happy. I said, I'm happy. I'm happy. Just to walk in a field, walk out in nature, watch, listen to the trees. You know what? The Bible says, all the earth groan. The trees of the field claps their hands. See, the earth worships God, but man doesn't. And we should. Because he's given us that gift. He's given us his son. But at this time of year, if we can forget that and get so busy with everything, all the presents, everything, and he comes second. How would you feel if it was your birthday? And everyone's doing their own thing and they're not even interested in you. What kind of, you know, you're right in the room. It's your birthday party, but everyone's thinking about themselves and everyone's worrying about themselves and partying, not even involving you. But it's your birthday. Well, that's what we do to God. That's what we do to God. You know what they say sometimes? And I used to always say as a kid, people take kindness for weakness. Because God is so merciful. Because he's so good. Because he's so loving. We don't take advantage of that. And God just says, okay, if that's how it is, carry on then. But one thing I'll tell you, you won't have no joy. You won't have no peace, because once that rave is over and the party's over and the music's finished, you're right back to the same thing again. Once you light the spliff and the smoke is gone, I've been there. When you come back down, the problem's still there. The difference is God says, I'll be with you always. When Paul was in that prison, Christ came next to him and says, be of good cheer, Paul. Huh? Told you I'll be with you. Huh? Did he take the chains off him? Nah. Sometimes he did, but sometimes he didn't. But the comfort was, he says, I'm here. I believe Paul just says, ah, that's a good one. Like it. See, the difference is Paul and Silas in the prison that night, they can sit there and moan. I believe Paul and Silas probably is a little bit started moaning. Oh, poor man, you know, boy, they're going to kill us this time. You know, Paul just had to say, listen, Silas, man, just strike up that note, man. What's that note? I'll sing a song because you're depressing me too. You know, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes I get around some people and I think to myself, my word, I tell you what, you'll make me depressed. You know? Iron sharpens iron. What were there for? To encourage one another, go on with God. Encourage one another. If someone's forgetting that great gift, they encourage them. Listen, have you forgotten? The Bible says we have been enlightened. You've got no excuse. You've got no excuse. You've been enlightened. God has given you a new life. You can't now live for yourself with that life. You can't do that. You have to live for him. You have to remember what he's done for you. And the Bible also says in Revelation, remember from where you have fallen and do the first works. You have to remember where you've gone wrong and say, God, forgive me. Help me. I want to serve you again. I want to come back again. I don't want to live like that no more. I don't want to live for myself, because you're not happy. That world out there is not happy, and that world out there needs something. They need to see something. The Bible says, by your good works, men shall see. They need to see something. There's no point you just talking and telling them. No, they need to see. See, I always, when I was in the ghetto, we just sit back. When someone said there's a rude boy, I say, yeah, let's give him a few weeks. Let him see how it is out here in the ghetto. You calm down. You see, but you people, as you go on in life, we see someone comes in all hyper, everything. I always say that when they come in our church and they come sometime all hyper, want to serve God, I say, give them a few weeks. We'll see. We'll see how much they love the Lord. See, because God does that. See, if you say you love me, he says. If you say you love me, then do it as I say. Can't tell me you love me and then you don't do as I say. That's not love. That's not love, but because he doesn't give us what we want. Half of the time, it's because he doesn't give us what we want. But we have to remember, this time of year, we have got the greatest gift has been given to man. God has given us his only begotten son. That's the greatest gift ever given at Christmas time. Jesus Christ. There is nothing greater. There's nothing greater. Amen.